Susan hadn't known what to expect when she'd entered the soup kitchen, so she'd been nervous when she'd arrived this morning. But her initial uneasiness hadn't lasted long. Everyone she'd met so far had been kind and friendly, and before long she'd settled right in. She was glad she'd decided to offer Rosa a hand. Of course, she hadn't realized just how much work it was to feed 40 or 50 hungry people. From the moment she'd entered the door, she'd been given a job, and she'd stayed busy. Her first task had been peeling potatoes, while Rosa prepared the main dish and vegetables. They'd continued to work together for more than an hour, but when the first people had begun to arrive, they'd split up, with Susan going into the dining room to start serving meals. Susan had expected to see a lot of riffraff, but she'd been wrong. Sure, there'd been several men who'd worn dirty, ragged clothing and appeared to be living on the streets, but they'd been both polite and appreciative. Several of the other guests, as Carlos called them, were senior citizens on fixed incomes, and a few of those were veterans, if the military-style hats with American Legion and VFW patches were any clue. One of the first to arrive had been a mother with two school-aged children. The woman, a brunette Carlos had called Joni, had worn a threadbare sweater that was no match to the wintry chill outdoors. Susan had been tempted to hand over her own jacket to her, but she hadn't known how to do it without embarrassing the woman. The children, a boy who was about 9 or 10 and a girl who was a couple years younger, stuck close to their mother's side, their eyes bright yet apprehensive. Susan had been drawn to them, but for some reason, once she'd said hello and served their plates, she'd remained at her post and kept her mind on her work. She wasn't sure why she'd felt so awkward around the small family, and after they'd taken seats, she wished she would have done or said more. When she'd seen Carlos discreetly slip Joni some cash, along with an invitation to attend Christmas Under the Stars in Mulberry Park next week, she'd been relieved. Yet even after the small family left, they'd remained on her mind and on her heart. During a lull, Susan asked Rosa, "Does Joni come here often?"
"Not every day."
Susan glanced at the clock on the wall, noting the time.
"Did school get out early today? Or has Christmas break already started?"
"Joni's kids are in a special program. On Mondays and Fridays, they get out of class around 11, and Joni brings them here for lunch. Afterward, they attend some kind of family counseling session sponsored by the local battered women's shelter."
It didn't take Susan long to read between the lines.
"Do they live at the shelter?"
"Not anymore. They're in a transitional living situation now."
"Is Joni able to work?"
"She has a job, but it's only part-time. Her hours were cut, so even with help, they're struggling. Of course, everyone here has one problem or another."
Susan scanned the room, realizing that all of the guests had sad stories to tell, and that Carlos probably knew them all. As he made the rounds, he would chat for a while with the various groups who sat together, or take a seat next to one who sat alone. But there was plenty of work to be done in the kitchen, particularly the cleanup, so Susan couldn't help voicing her annoyance to Rosa.
"You know, there are more productive things he could be doing right now."
"Taking out the trash came to mind, and so did washing some of the dirty pots and pans piled up in the sink and on the counters."
"His job is to make each of the guests feel welcome. I'd do it myself, but Carlos is a lot more outgoing than I am."
Rosa shifted her weight to one leg.
"We seem to be having a lull right now, so I'll go back into the kitchen and start cleaning up."
"I've got a better idea," Susan said. "I'll wash the pots and pans while you use the slow time to get off your feet for a while."
"No, you stay here. It's easier if I work in the kitchen. I know where everything belongs."
As Rosa turned to go, Susan made a quick scan of the dining room, with its long rectangular tables, providing seating for the nearly 20 people who'd come to eat. At the rear, near the restrooms, two bulletin boards trimmed with a Frosty the Snowman border displayed flyers that advertised the community clinic, various hotlines, as well as benefits and opportunities in the area.
The soup kitchen, Susan realized, did more than feed the hungry. And since she considered Parkside Community her home church, even though she rarely attended Sunday services herself, she couldn't help feeling proud and a part of what they were doing.